Hi, everyone. We are the Gooders, people who do good. We help people dealing with life challenges and empower them to help others. Today, we are hosting Whitney Allen. Whitney, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
This podcast is brought to you by CirclesUp.com, the go-to place for life challenges like grief, divorce, cancer, etc. In every episode, we speak with an inspiring person who moderates an audio chat room for people dealing with the same life challenge. We will tell their story and the story of their members. So again, thank you for being with us, Whitney. I look forward to hearing your story.
Thank you. Well, like you said, my name is Whitney Allen. I'm a young widow. I have two young boys, my son Jackson, who is almost five, and my son Leo, who just turned one. And in October of 2021, October 14th, 2021, my husband, Ryan, had a severe reaction to a bee sting, went into cardiac arrest, and he was deprived of oxygen for 20 minutes, and he sustained a very severe brain injury. He spent 5 months in and out, well, in hospitals and rehab, towards the end of that very arduous journey of being in hospitals and rehabilitation to try to get him to the point where he could even get out of what they call a vegetative or disordered consciousness state, it was clear that he would never be able to have any valuable sense of life. He would never be able to know what was going on around him, be able to communicate. And so we made the very painful decision to put him on hospice in March of 2022, and he passed away on April 7th, 2022. So since that time, I wrote a memoir about grief and trauma, which is coming out February 21st of this year. And I also will be a certified grief educator at the end of this month. So I've kind of completely shifted gears in terms of my career. I am still a lawyer, but I'm no longer practicing. So I've really committed my life to helping other people going through similar traumatic events and going through grief and working through that process to try to find joy and peace again after losing someone very important.
Wow. Thanks for sharing. And you presented yourself as a widow. Can you remember the first time you said like that you are a widow? Like you remember the moment where you realized that this is now become part of your life?
I think the day that Ryan died, I don't know the first time I said it, but I had a long time to process him not being able to recover because I basically lost my husband in October of 2021, because when you suffer a brain injury and you can't talk or communicate and you're just in a bed and you don't know what's going on around you, you lose that person because you realize how limited a body that can't really do anything. And without the soul and the spirit and the essence of a person, you know, they're not really there. So honestly, I felt like a widow then in October, but his physical body died in April the following year. So I had a lot of time to process not having a husband, basically. So I think it was just, the day that he died, it was just kind of a confirmation of his body dying and me being alone.
Yeah. Now, I think that circles in general, we see, and in general, when you meet people that are dealing with the same life challenge, a lot of those times are like when you speak with people and they understand without words what you're going through and like deeply understand in a way that no one else can. So what are things that pops in mind that you think of that are like other widows you think can understand that other people just can't understand?
I think that widows, especially, we have such a range of emotions that go on after we lose our spouse. We have so much so many unique emotions, and I call it the business of death. Like, we have so much going on we have to do, especially if we have children. We can't just, you know, lay in bed and sleep all day and wish our life was different. Like, we have to, at least from my experience, like, I had two young kids, so I had to show up for life. I felt like I had to, you know, find pockets of joy in the day, because for them, it was really important that they didn't see me as, you know, unstable. That was really important for me, to be a stable figure, even though, you know, my life didn't feel stable at the time. So, you know, I think for widows, it's really hard, because you're not dealing with just the death of a spouse. You're dealing with the death of a lifestyle, the death of an identity, the death of a co-parent, the death of so many different facets of life, just, you know, your routine and rhythm of every day. You have to relearn how to live your life in every aspect, because this person was in your life every day, in your physical space, in your mental space, in your emotional space. And you have to live by yourself now with kids, or if you don't have children. And there's so much to get used to. And, you know, it's very unique when you lose a spouse and then, you know, that person had a mother and or a sister or brother, you know, and their process is different, because they didn't lose somebody that was integral to their day-to-day operations. But when you lose a spouse, they're in your day-to-day operations. You know, that person that you talk about the stupid stuff with, like, oh, we need to call like the trash company to make sure that they come next week. Like, that's your person. And now you don't have that person to talk about those very trivial things. And it's like the little things that I feel like you miss when you lose a spouse.
Yes. It sounds like a really lonely experience in that sense, like that you're, yeah. And you mentioned that you were a lawyer and you decided to dedicate your life to grief and dealing with grief. Mm-hmm. Can you share a little bit about this decision? Like, what drove you to it? Like,
what drove me to it is the fact that through the process of dealing with my husband being in the hospital and dealing with hospice and dealing with all these things that a normal 35-year-old will probably never have to deal with, and also interacting with others, it really made me realize that as a society, people are so grief illiterate. Like, they don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. A lot of the time they say the wrong things and they do the wrong things and they don't show up in a way that I feel is appropriate and helpful. And I think it's not their fault, but I think it's our fault as a society for not educating people in a better way of what this experience is like. And I don't know, I just, after Ryan died, I felt like I needed to kind of take the torch and be that person to be super vulnerable about this experience and show people what it's really like to go through grief and trauma and, you know, talk about things on my social media that maybe people don't really talk about because they think they're going to get backlash or they're going to get mean comments or, you know, because people don't really understand unless they've walked in your shoes. And I wanted to bring to light all of the things that people don't talk about grief and trauma. So I just felt like I have the personality to do that because I have a strong backbone and I felt very compelled and passionate about helping others do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's an amazing and inspiring decision. And can you remember like the first interactions, or not necessarily the first, but one of the first interactions that you had with people that you felt that it's really meaningful, you talking about grief, you communicating how to communicate with people that are dealing with grief?
Mm-hmm. Well, honestly, the journey really began when I started sharing Ryan's story and his condition on Facebook, because he was a police officer and he was so known in the community, and people were messaging me and texting me and asking me, you know, for updates. And it became so overwhelming that I just decided to do updates on Facebook. And through that, I've always loved writing, and I guess my updates got shared and went viral because people were just so touched by the story and so wanting to know what was going on. And, you know, everyone was praying for a miracle. And through that process, I realized, because I got so many messages from people saying, you know, I'm not in the same situation, but I'm dealing with drug abuse, or I'm dealing with a bad relationship, or I'm dealing with cancer. And they could relate to be going through an adversity from Ryan's story and our family's story. So I think that's really the first time that I realized how powerful it is to share, and the power of being vulnerable, you know, sharing about grief and trauma and all the things that go into that.
Yeah, it's super powerful. And, you know, we see also on, like, on circles, we have ads just kind of like letting people know that there are support groups there, and people are sharing those ads, and people are writing, you know, about their loved ones and sharing about what, whom they lost and when they lost, and kind of like, and people are supporting each other. It's amazing how much, also when you make it accessible, how much people wants to support other people. And so you started the leading rooms, leading audio rooms, it's the Circles platform, supporting people that are dealing with the grief. I think specifically widows, right? I remember correctly. I think it's just
anybody can jump in who is dealing with grief. But, you know, I do have a unique perspective as a widow, but I think I can relate to all different losses.
Yeah. So if you can share with us a little bit about kind of like what is the value that people are getting from participating in your audio rooms, and what are the things like that you, what can you, like, I know that you suggest and you have all kind of like ways to help people deal with it. So if you can, you know, just give us a taste of what's going on there.
Yeah, well, one of the things about grief that is so important in healing is, you know, you heal in community, whether that's with family or close friends, or, you know, even like a, if you're like part of a synagogue or church, like the healing process is, I think, so much more meaningful and beneficial and smoother if you do it in a group setting where you can feel like you're being heard. And one of the other things about grief that helps healing so much is you have to be seen in your grief. You have to be witnessed in your grief. And these groups, I feel like, give people the space to be witnessed in their grief, because a lot of time, we're holding all of this stuff in and we don't have anyone to go to, you know, mental health, finding a mental health professional or a grief coach or something like that isn't always the most accessible. So in this way, people feel witnessed and seen in their grief and what they're going through. And there's also a community aspect, because, you know, you're in a group of people sharing their stories. So you don't feel alone. You don't feel isolated. You don't feel like you're crazy for thinking certain things or having certain emotions. So I think there's really a power in that. And when you don't feel so alone, I think that's really powerful in helping people heal and hearing that, you know, you're not the only one going through this type of situation. So I always encourage the people in my rooms. I try to be a really good listener. Like, I don't try to fix anything. There's nothing to fix in grief per se. It's really making people feel like they are heard and understood in their grief. You know, and then, you know, we can troubleshoot different scenarios, like depending upon, I know in my last session, someone mentioned that they were being activated when they heard the sound of an ambulance, because their dad had passed away, and they remember the sound of the ambulance coming to their house, and they were getting, you know, known like PTSD symptoms, which is like the elevated heart rate and things that happen when you're activated, when you're hearing or seeing or smelling things that bring up a traumatic event. So I also had those things happen after my husband's accident. And I think talking about them honestly has really helped, like, the triggers of those episodes not be so intense, because the more that you kind of work through that traumatic event that is like bringing you back into the moment of that traumatic event, I think you release it. So, you know, I encouraged her to talk about it. and, you know, and just reassured her that it wouldn't always be this intense, that there are ways to kind of bring down your nervous system when you're having these like anxious moments, because they are going to come sometimes. And sometimes they come when we're least expecting it. Like we don't have control over if an ambulance passes us. So just in those moments to kind of take a deep breath and remind yourself like you're okay, you're safe, you're not in that traumatic moment. And kind of taking a moment to be present, because I think a lot of grief is the fact that we live in the past and we can't see a future for ourselves. So, you know, and that's what the anxiety is. Like we fear the future and we think about the past and we're not in the present. So just encouraging people to be in the present moment, I think, is really helpful.
I think, yeah, like I hear you, and I always think about hope. Like it's when you're dealing with a life challenge and kind of like you're in it and you're in the midst of all the feelings and everything. The only thing that I think people need is hope. It's hope, not that the situation will change. It's not, not reversible. The only thing that they want to know that one day they can and they will feel better. I think that's, and that's what I find in other people's story. And
yeah, I agree. I think people have a loss and they're in acute grief and it feels so heavy and so devastating that, you know, you kind of start telling lies to yourself, like, I'll never feel better. I'll never move on. I'll never be happy again. You know, all these things that your inner voice is telling you, but that's only a part of yourself. You know, there's a part of yourself that if you really dig deep is saying, you know, you'll be okay. You will move forward. You will be happy again. You will smile. And I think it's giving yourself the space and time to be able to find that part of yourself that is hope and not just fearing for the future.
Yeah, 100%. Whitney, thank you so much, first of all, for being here with us today and also for being there for people. I think there are a few of people that kind of like to take their life challenges and turn it around and supporting other people. And for me, it's really inspiring. So I applaud you for that. Thank you so much for your story.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I hope this episode helps whoever needs to hear it.
Me too. Hey.